Welcome to Horror Makes Us Happy, a podcast where we ask the question, what is it about horror that makes us happy? Your hosts are Steve Becker and myself, Chris Whitman, and you can find out more about us at our website, horrormakesushappy.com. We have all the link trees and all the links there and links to our Discord server and social media. So go on down and check it out.
Yep.
Before we get started, this is the trigger warning. This is a horror podcast. We talk about horror things, so we could delve into sensitive subjects or harsh language or violence may be discussed, but that's not exactly what the whole thing is about. It's actually more of a psychological delve into what exactly it is that people like about horror.
But so you never know.
You never know. But now that we do that, we can say curse words like fuck.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Let's see. As far as current events go, well, if, depending on how things go, we might do a YouTube live later today. Although this is not going to be released for 2-3 months, so that's not going to matter to anybody listening.
Maybe people just want to know what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, yes, yes.
How's your day going? Well, I'm doing this.
Yeah. Hopefully, by the time this is released, we will get all the kinks worked out on that and get that straightened out. We did a little test run last week, and my mic was not working properly, so more to come on that. And then, as usual, 9 o'clock on Discord, Chris will be streaming himself working on his horror-themed webcomic. So we got that going on. Today we are talking to Mr. Marvin Maddox Jr., producer, actor, composer, who's got a ton of things going on, over 150, 160 credits on IMDb, possibly best known for The Boy from Below, Only Fangs, Staycation, and Psycho Knight. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Yeah. Before we get into the meat of the interview, you want to let people know what you're currently working on?
Yes. Right now, my upcoming project is going to be in April. We're going to be filming an independent horror film with Will Kilsgoe. The name of the film is called Clown in a Cabin.
Okay.
Mm.
And also in April, there's another independent film being made by Chase Dooley. It's called Between the Living and the Dead.
I've heard about this one. Yeah, isn't it? Hold on. Between the Living and the Dead. Didn't we speak to somebody else who was working on this?
I don't think so, but I vaguely recall reading something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have many upcoming projects on your IMDb page. Yeah. There's 46 projects alone in just upcoming.
Yes. most of them are... some of them are in pre-production. Some of them are being filmed right now. And others are in post-production. So, yeah, they're active.
It's a process.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Busy man. Well, the theme of this podcast is going to be less about your body of work and more about what you yourself have been a fan of. And some, you know, also we'll talk about personal stuff too. But that said, it's not meant to be a therapy session. So if there's any questions you want to answer, you just say pass and move on. But starting with childhood, what are some of your earliest memories of scary things?
Oh, well, my earliest memory of scary movie actually was Exorcist.
Of course.
Going way back.
Yep.
And also some of my favorite growing up was Friday the 13th franchise.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
And actually one franchise that I really loved that actually got me into doing, I was actually a drawer. I used to do art. So, but getting into comic books, I used to have Marvel and DC comics reading growing up. But as far as getting into horror, the one franchise that got me really interested in doing comic books was the Creepshow franchise.
I knew that's where you're going with this. Yes. I love that comic style.
Also Tales from the Crypt. But yeah, Creepshow actually gave me inspiration to going into drawing horror comics.
What'd you like about The Exorcist? Or what really stands out to you is, in your memories?
Ooh, the part that really stabbed me is the one scene when she was coming down the stairs.
Yeah. The spider walk.
Yeah.
The upside down backwards spider walk. Yeah.
Yeah, that part really freaked me out when I was a kid. Actually, I was horrified of horror movies when I was a kid, but slowly growing up, it growed on me. I never really liked horror movies when I was a kid, but in my teenage years, starting to grow on me, and I started to, that was my best genre out of all movies, horror.
Yeah, it's a thing that comes up often with our guests is like, you know, was there a dividing line when you did or didn't like horror? And a lot of people I've found say they always liked horror, but I don't know how much I trust that over the interviews that we've had, because I think it's more natural to be scared of horror when you're a younger kid.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, when I was small, I was more scared of horror, and my sister, she loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, she loved horror, but around 12, 13 years old, I started to love horror movies more and more.
Do you remember what the first one that you loved was?
The first one I really grew, like I said, I mentioned before, Creepshow. Mm-hmm. I love Creepshow, bro. I love that franchise. Then my next one I loved was Friday the 13th. Then after that was Nightmare on Elm Street.
For Creepshow, was your introduction the movie or the comic?
It was actually the movie. The movie at first. And then when I found out later on, you know, like it was like, I know in the movie it was like an adaptation of the comic. But later on when I finally saw that it was an actual comic being that was made, I really got interested in that. And I actually got a physical copy of the comic back in 2019.
Oh, nice.
The Creepshow comic.
You got it graded and everything, like a 9.8 CSC?
Yes, brand new. Yeah. Well, actually it was brand new. I got my actual hard copy, because I actually got it off of Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So going back to the movie, though, was there a particular scene in the movie that really stood out to you, or one of the stories that you liked the most?
The story I liked the most was the crate.
The crate?
Yeah.
The monster in the crate. Yep. That was my favorite out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
The second favorite was the first one with the birthday cake.
Yeah, where's my cake? Where's my cake?
Yeah. Well, those two stories in the... And Creepshow was my favorite. Now, for Creepshow Part 2, my favorite story in that one was the raft.
Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot that was 2. I thought that was the first one.
What'd you like about the creature in the crate sequence?
I love the, actually, the monster itself, the look of the monster in the crate.
Okay.
Actual makeup, props, that was pretty neat.
All right. Okay.
I just love the whole aesthetic, how the monster looked like.
Okay. What about the sequence or the segment about the birthday cake?
Oh, the birthday cake. the part that when he came, I finally came out of the grave. Mm-hmm. Or he was coming out of the grave and he choked out his daughter, asking for his cake. That was the part I liked. And actually, the ending too, when he came out of the kitchen with the head with the frosting and the candles on it. And you see, he finally got his cake.
Yeah. That was the thing with the things like Creepshow and Tales from the Crypt. Like it was always like a Schadenfreude or a lesson learned kind of deal, like a monkey's paw kind of thing. Like someone who's greedy or corrupt tries to do this thing and they get their comeuppance or just desserts at the end.
Yeah.
Or in this one, just the desserts.
Ah, because it's cake.
Yes. let's see. What about Friday the 13th? What'd you like about Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th. I liked my best Friday the 13th was actually part 3 when he finally got the hockey mask.
Yep.
Part 3.
Yeah.
But something about I like part 1. It was special because it was his mom doing the killing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I like part 3 the best. And the second one I like is part 1.
Okay. Other than the fact that he got the mask, was there anything that really stood out to you about that? Or is it just the mask that you really liked?
Oh, yeah. Really stood out when he first got the mask.
Okay.
That really stood out.
You mentioned that your sister was a fan of horror. Was anybody else in the family a fan of horror?
It was mostly just me and my sister. My dad... He was a fan of horror, but he mostly like out of the horror genre, he liked mostly like vampires and werewolf movies.
The classics like Universal and Hammer.
Yeah. He liked certain slashers, like he liked Friday the 13th too, but the most horror movies he liked watching is are vampires and werewolf movies.
Okay. Nothing wrong with the classics.
Yep. did you participate in Halloween when you were a kid?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Do you have a favorite costume?
My costume was simple. I was a ghost.
Okay.
Usual sheet over the body with the two eyes cut out.
Yeah.
Same boo.
Can't go wrong with the classic ghost.
No, yeah.
No. Did you have any reoccurring nightmares or reoccurring dreams when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did have nightmares after I watched, like I said, The Exorcist. I had a couple of nightmares off that movie, watching that. That's basically the only movie that I got nightmares from. Just that one movie. Every other movie was just straight fine. For some reason, that movie right there took the cake.
Well, it's creepy. I got
nightmares.
Yeah. Was the nightmare about the scene of her coming down the stairs, or was it some other part of the movie that scared you in your dreams?
It was that scene too. And I had a nightmare that I was just in. It was really weird. I was like actually in the room while I was doing the exorcism. And when she started to levitate in the air, start floating, that scene. Okay. Those both scenes I had nightmares of.
Were you in the room as one of the priests, like a second young priest, or like?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, you know, like where you like, it's kind of like a POV, like you just stand in it, like you actually seeing everything going on from like a POV standpoint. And yeah, he's doing the exorcism and then she started levitating off the bed.
And you're freaking out. I
was
out.
Like, wow. It was only for like a couple, I would say. The dream lasts to me, I feel like it just lasts like a couple minutes. Then I woke up.
I'd be in the dream going like, what do I do? Do I help? What am I doing here?
Yeah, it was kind of weird because it was kind of like, I'm in the room watching everything that's going on, but they don't notice me. It's like I'm just there seeing just everything. Yeah, it was a weird dream.
Yeah.
Was ever a time in your childhood when you felt terrified of something in real life?
Not really, no. To tell the truth, no.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah, right? That's a good thing.
Flipping that question around, was there ever a time in your childhood when you felt exceptionally calm or safe or happy?
Yeah. I was safe, calm, and safe around the point when I was like around 13, 14 years old. Okay. I was real calm and safe, just relaxed, watching horror movies. That was my happy place.
Nice.
Some of my other cousins and stuff used to look at me weird, like, oh, I don't know about you, guy. You okay? I'll be watching.
Look, you like basketball, I like horror movies. Let me enjoy my happy place.
Yeah. Right? They'll be watching movies with me, and every time a kill scene happened in a slasher movie, they would jump up and curl up, and I'm just there watching, and they're looking at me.
Right? Like, you're over there on the other side of the couch, just wide eyed with a grin, like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So these next two questions come as a pair. We're going to start with the negative one so we can end on the positive one. Okay. Do you remember the first person you hurt?
No. Actually, I never really hurt nobody. Well, I would say the first around about 12 or 13, I got in a fight in school, but that was about it. Okay. He hit me, I hit him, he hit me back, I hit him back, and then the teacher just came and broke us up. But that was really the only really one physical altercation I have, hurting somebody or putting my hands on somebody.
Okay. Do you remember the first person you helped?
Yes. That was when I was 16. That was a neighbor of mine. I've helped her. Actually, she needed help basically cleaning up around her lawn, getting up all the debris and stuff, all the trash. But she was, you know, she was real old and she really didn't have no family members. And I was a neighbor and I said, sure, I'll help you. She, you know, she used to make make drinks for me, cook food, give me some food from time to time. Thanking me for helping her out. Nice. Yeah.
Wholesome. Very wholesome.
That's nice.
And now a 10-second self-advertising spot. If you'd like to support us for free, you can also like, share, subscribe, tell a friend, leave us a review, or join the Patreon free tier. If you could do at least one of these, we'd really appreciate it. Back to the show.
So moving into your teenage years, any particular books or movies stand out to you from your teens?
like I said, in my teenage years, was what, Creep Show, Friday yeah. the 13th, Nightmare on M Street. Other couple movies is Maniac Cop.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else? Oh yeah, Gremlins.
Oh yeah. Do you hear they're making a third one?
Oh yeah, I heard about. Yeah, I saw that on YouTube that there was a little short video the other day that they planning to make a Gremlins 3. Yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot what YouTube channel it was. I think it's Looper when it was showing like the upcoming.
Sounds like something they show on Looper. That's usually what they do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Looper. But yeah.
So what'd you like about Nightmare on Elm Street?
Man, first time I saw Freddy Krueger, mm-hmm. especially that one, the part in the first one when the girl was dreaming and he came down like the alley and his hands was long, scratching mm-hmm. the wall. I like, wow, that was crazy. That was a crazy scene in the first one.
Mm-hmm. What about Maniac Cop?
That kills me. Well, the really thing that was kind of creepy, to tell you the truth, in that movie was, I think they had like a lullaby song or something, like a humming song, like when they're doing like a flashback of him getting stabbed and stuff in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when he got stabbed in the shower or whatever, and the clinically call him dead in the coroner's office. They had that, like every time they have like a flashback of him in the movie, they had like this weird like children's song, like a lullaby.
Hmm.
I find that kind of creepy while I was watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go back and watch it again. It's been so long.
I'm going to catch some heat for this, but I got to watch it, period. I've never seen Maniac Cop.
Oh, you never seen Maniac? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's a classic. I've seen the stills and the images. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
What about Gremlins?
Kind of like the one I kind of like is when it was in that, I think it was Gremlins 2, when it was like in the hotel.
Yeah, it was a business high rise thing.
Yeah, yeah. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's the one where they got all experimental with the gremlins too. Like they had a bat gremlin, a spider gremlin.
Yep. Yep. The spider gremlin was in the elevator shaft. Yep. That was the funniest one. The spider gremlin.
Yeah. It sounds like, you know, everything that we've been talking about so far, you know, other than maybe, you know, just general fear, it's all like visual stuff. No emotional response, really.
Yeah, it's all visual.
Aside from Exorcist.
Well, that's what I mean. There was fear, but other than that, humor, you know, he was talking about coming out of the kitchen with the cake, coming out of the grave. You know, ask, you know, where's my cake?
Yeah.
Was there anything that really like kind of hit you on an emotional level, or was it all just fun?
Basically fun. Yeah. None of the movies I saw hit me really on an emotional level. It was all fun for me.
That's good.
Let's see. Any scary dreams or reoccurring nightmares as a teen?
Not really. No. Just like I said, just that one with the Exorcist. Mm-hmm. When I was a grown up, as far as in my teenage years, I didn't have no nightmares.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good thing.
How about a time in your teens when you were scared of something in real life?
Back when I was when I was growing up in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
They had an old house. I forgot the owner of the house passed away, and they said the owner used to be all grumpy and stuff. I might have been into witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad and my neighbors, they used to tease me about that. I said, bet you won't go in the house.
You had one of those.
After a while, the house was all abandoned and decrepit, but that's the only thing that really spooked me out, the house.
Mm-hmm. Did you go in?
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
Call me chicken on that. Yep, I never went in.
You can call me chicken, but I call me safe, okay?
Yep. Yes, sir. I never went in. They tease me sometime till this day. My cousins will bring it up. Remember that old house? And I said, yep, I remember. I'm still chicken, too. I won't go into that house.
I thought it was a little bit of genius for Peele to call his movie Nope. Yeah.
And they use that line a few times in it too. Just,
yep.
Yeah.
Nope. Was there ever a time in your teens when you're exceptionally calm or safe or bliss?
Yeah. Basically, like around, like I said, when I was like 15, mm-hmm. 16, I was really calm, watching movies, also drawing.
Yeah.
That was my calm place too when I do drawing, because at first mm-hmm. I started off drawing superheroes, mm-hmm. Ninja Turtles and all yeah. of that. But so when I got younger, I slowly started getting heavily into trying to draw realistic sketches.
Mm-hmm.
In my high school year, mm-hmm. I moved away from drawing cartoons and really switched over into trying to do realistic sketches. I'm still working on it. I'm pretty decent on my sketches, but still got a long way to go.
Yeah, there's a saying about no artwork is ever completed. You just run out of time. Mm-hmm. It's always more to do.
Don't let perfect be the enemy of finished or something like that. I don't know. I have the same problem, so yeah. I can't talk.
Never let perfect be the enemy of good.
Mm-hmm.
10-second self-advertising spot. Chris live streams himself drawing his horror-themed webcomic on our Discord server every Sunday. Come hang out. There's an invite link on the front page of horrormakesushappy.com. Back to the show. All right, moving into adult years then. What movies really have stood out to you as impactful in your adult years?
For some reason, the first one growing up, is it really a Lord of the Illusions?
Okay.
John Carpenter?
Yeah, John Carpenter.
Yeah, with the giant green glowing tank that was essentially Satan.
Yeah. Another movie that kind of comes to my mind is Serpent on the Rainbow.
Mm. That's a good one.
Yeah. And the other one, In the Mouth of Madness.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those three.
Really good, Sean. That's two of the Carpenter Madness trilogy, if I recall correctly. You had In the Mouth of Madness, Lord of Illusions, and
Serpent on the Rainbow. Film from back in when I was Sleepwalkers.
Ah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember the Lord of Illusions one. For some reason, I'm thinking of a different one. The one where it was like Satan was a liquid in a canister.
Yeah, it was that one.
Alice Cooper. Prince of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, that was Prince of Darkness. What was Lord of Illusions then?
But then when it was like a liquid in the canister under the church, yeah. Prince of Darkness.
Remind me what Lord of Illusions was then.
Yeah.
Lord of Illusions was, I don't know if you remember the one guy that used to play in the series Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the main character in Lord of Illusions. He was like a detective.
Okay.
And he was going like an, he was trying to like, I forgot mm-hmm. that. It's been so long I saw that movie, but he was like a detective and tried to like to, he was going after this certain magician, trying to see if he was a real thing or he was fake, main antagonist.
So what did you like about the movie in particular scene?
Someone was like the practical effects, I should say. It was, even though the practical effects was not really that great back in like in a, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
That movie got my attention, the practical effects. Okay. I can't really give you a scene that I really like out of that movie because it's been so long I haven't watched it, but.
Okay. Yeah, same here. I'm sorry, Clive Barker. I totally got this one mixed up with Prince of Darkness, but yeah, I've seen Lord of Illusions. It has been a minute and it deserves a rewatch.
Yeah, I definitely gotta go back and rewatch it.
So if you can't remember a particular scene, do you remember a particular emotion that the movie triggered for you?
I vaguely remember that when he was there was like in an attic and he had, I think he had someone like on an altar,
mm-hmm.
and he was about to do a magic and something happened with the person, like the transform into a monster or something, and that was really creepy. To me, it was good, but at the same time, creepy.
Mm. Let's see. What about Serpent on the Rainbow? What'd you like about that one?
Oh, just the simple fact that the ingredients from the blowfish and all that stuff create that powder that could make you seem clinically dead.
That was, I mean, loosely based on real life, too. And it's really the closest thing we've had to zombies in real life. I like that about it.
Yeah. The one part of what freaked me out in the movie, too, was like when he was finally buried and he was just there struggling in the dark, trying to breathe, trying to crawl out the coffin, dig himself out. That was wild.
Ooh, that's, yeah, I feel my chest tightening up a little bit. That's,
yeah, when he
being buried alive, that's one of the big ones for me. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Don't blame ya. So what about In the Mouth of Madness?
In the Mouth of Madness, it had so many creepy scenes in that. I think it had that one scene when he was driving through the town, and I think he went past an alley, and I don't know if it was like a cop and other people just around beating up on somebody, and like when he got out of the car to try and go save the person, it's like they all turn around and their face was all distorted and cut up. That scene was like the creepiest part to me in the movie.
What about Sleepwalkers?
I thought that was crazy in that movie's when I forgot his name, the actor who played as Hellboy when he was that cop. And he,
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman, that part when the mom, I think she bit off like two of his fingers.
Okay.
Yeah, that part was crazy. She grabbed his hand and just bite it and tore his fingers. Was gone.
Yeah, the mom was really creepy in that. Wasn't that, that's the same actress who played the Borg Queen, I think. She's been in several other movies, too. I can't remember, but Sleepwalkers is a classic.
Okay. Anything scare you in real life as an adult?
To tell you the truth, no. Okay. No. Okay. Nothing in real life scared me, but the last movies that really freaked me out, and for some reason, I don't know why, probably because I was watching it in the dark, is what Paranormal Activity, the first one. Yeah, the first one really creeped me out. Paranormal Activity.
Yeah,
I guess because I was watching it in the dark, you know, seeing listening to all the creepy noise and stuff. For some reason, that's the only movie so far, the latest movie that creeped me out. But as far as something in real life, no.
Okay. Do you remember any particular scene in Paranormal Activity that stood out to you?
The only part that stood out to me is every time when they go to sleep upstairs and the camera is rolling and I guess the ghost or whatever entity is messing with them. Yeah. Or the one part that the entity dragged her out the bed.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend had to get up around the hallway to run after her. That was kind of creepy. And also in the end, too, when I guess when she, I don't know if she got fully possessed and I guess the guy got thrown towards the camera. And then you just saw her there just standing up looking. That was kind of creepy.
She got fully possessed. That's my my headcanon. She got guy. That or she's a bitch and that guy should get a divorce. I mean, that's either she's possessed or a total bitch.
¿Por qué don las dos? What else? Okay, so we're going to ask these two questions again as a pair, starting with the negative so we can end on the positive. Do you remember the last person you hurt?
No, I don't remember. Like I said, I think the only one I could remember is from my childhood days when I got in a fight. Other than that, I haven't hurt nobody physically, even if growing up in my adulthood.
Emotional counts too.
Even emotional cursing someone out, hurt them, saying bad things to them.
Okay. What about do you remember the last person you helped?
The last person I helped, yes, it was actually before I got out of the army. That was back in 2011. I helped him.
Helped anybody in 15 years?
as far as help, like real
life
changing.
I'm just messing with you.
That was back in 2000. But yeah, true. I helped my family members as far as, you know, when they're down bad and money and stuff. Mm-hmm. I helped them out certain stuff. But yeah, the real thing I could remember helping was back in 2011. That stood out to me when I helped my friend in the army when he fully got out and he didn't really have nowhere to go and he had to like find a job or something. Yeah, I let him stay in one of my bedrooms for like, it took him 6 months to get himself together. But yeah, that really stuck in my head as helping.
That's the thing I never really think about, and a lot of people don't talk about. Yeah, I mean, you talk about people like getting out of prison after they've been in there for a while, having to reacclimate into society. But you get out of the service.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to reacclimate there too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When he was transitioning out, he didn't know if he really wanted to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't know what he wanted to do. So I told him he could, you know what I'm saying, get yourself together. Mm-hmm. Stay for like 6 months, you know, want to get a job or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. And he actually stayed in the area because at that time I was in Tennessee at Fort Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when he transitioned out, he didn't have nowhere to go. And I lived off post in housing. So I had a house of my own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Really good of you.
So this next question is going to be over your entire life. And it's not just horror. It could be any genre. What movie would you say you've watched more times than any other?
Oh, okay. This is from the martial arts film. Okay. It's a martial art film. Even growing up, Shogun Assassin.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I watched that a lot. That's the only one I could remember watching over and over and over again. Shogun Assassin.
Do I know that one?
Yeah, isn't it the one where you get the sample of the grasshopper at your feet?
No, that's Kung Fu.
Is that Kung Fu?
Yes.
That was Shogun Assassin.
Shogun Assassin is the father and the little boy going around in a cart. Basically, he used to be like a shogun samurai.
What's the word? Little Cub and Wolf or something
yes,
like that.
I think that was it.
Yeah, kind of Cub and Wolf. And, you know, you have all those scenes when a limb got chopped off, the spraying of blood, over-exaggerated blood spraying. Yeah.
What the hell is the word for a samurai that doesn't have any master?
Oh, Ronin?
I think. Ronin, thank you.
Yeah, that's Ronin. The other word I was thinking
of. Okay. So what'd you like about that one? I said something about the gore.
Yeah, it was real gory. A lot of chopped off limbs, and part when the limbs get chopped off is a lot of spurting of the blood, like the head getting chopped off, the spraying. It was kind of hilarious to.
Oh yeah,
old school to watch.
Old school kung fu movies are just, you know, classic for that. Every time it's like you said, it's arterial, like a hose is just spraying out of it, a little more present than the classic kung fu films. But have you ever seen Story of Ricky?
Yes. Oh yes, Story. Yeah, yeah.
That's another good one for heavy spray.
So would you say that's your favorite movie, or would you pick a different one to be your favorite?
I would say out of all the movies, that's kind of my favorite out of the horror genre. But in the horror genre, I would like my favorite movie would be my drawing background, my favorite movie would be Creepshow.
Okay.
Good choice.
Do you see any common threads about what kind of horror you like? Cannibalism, metaphysical, supernatural, psychological, cult?
Kind of like in the horror, it's kind of like the slasher. Those are my favorite slasher movies.
All right. So this would be sort of the place where we talk about any common themes that we keep seeing coming up multiple times. And then, you know, maybe talk about, you know, why those are important to you.
Okay.
You know, it sounds like your case is basically joy based. And this is something that's come up in other conversations we've had, other interviews we've had. There's like sort of two ways that you could approach somebody's love, not only of horror, but like any genre or anything in life. Like, do you love something because it brings you joy, or do you love it because you identify with it on some kind of deeper level that might even be trauma based. And for you, it sounds like you just connect, you're connecting on a joyful level.
Yes.
Like there's, mm-hmm. there's really no, like you said earlier in the call, there's no emotional connection. It's just the visuals and the excitement.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is cool, you know, but it does also make it kind of hard to ask any follow-up questions because you know, if it was trauma-based, then we go, okay, well, you know, why does that bother you? Or why does it, or, you know, why does that trigger you? But with joy, that's the end of the conversation because it's like, well, why does that make you happy?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of this show, isn't it?
Right.
Why does it make you happy?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It's a stab in the dark of it. Did you say that you watched horror with your father or your sister at a younger age? Was it?
With my sister.
So okay. Actually, thank you for bringing that up because there was one other part that I forgot to mention. So really the sort of the three things that I was seeing, like the excitement and the visuals was number one, but then there was like a number two and a number three that were a little bit below that, which are supernatural and community. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, community being important to you. You talked about the school fight, your elderly neighbor that you helped out. You helped your friend in the army. You know, mm-hmm. there's a sense of community that's important to you. But also there's something about the supernatural because, you know, The Exorcist, Paranormal Activity, Serpent in the Rainbow, Tales from the Crypt, those all have something to do with the supernatural. Oh, and the other thing about community is, you know, family, your sister and your father. So I was thinking maybe there was something related to particularly you haven't mentioned this yet in the call, but other people we've spoke to, if they have a strong religious background, then they usually all not usually, but many people who have a religious background also have a fear about supernatural stuff because they're like, I don't want to play with that. You know what I mean?
That's a good point you actually brought up because, you know, I go to Baptist. We rose up going to the Baptist church. Mm-hmm. And I never really asked my dad about it, but he can't stand Ouija boards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He hates them. I don't know if he had a bad experience or whatever, but yeah, he can't stand them. He can't stand Ouija boards. I don't know because I know he's deeply into his Bible and stuff, and he said those are sometimes, you know, portals to demons and stuff. So,
yeah, I can see that. A lot of times, people who have like a strong religious upbringing or belief system, they almost look at things like Ouija boards as disrespectful because you know these are powers that you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
and made a board game out of it.
Yeah, he really can't stand Ouija boards because he said the open your bodies up to demonic possessions and stuff playing with those.
Right. So it's the, you know, fear of the supernatural aspect.
Plus that movie was terrible.
Well, but you know, that could also have something to do with, you know, being a reason why supernatural stuff maybe is a little on the border for you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come to think of it, it probably is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That might be. Never really thought about it that way, but yeah, when I sit back and think about it, probably that's why I really never liked the genre of supernatural. I'm more into slashers, the slasher movies.
Yeah, it's like I'm going to stay away from that, the stuff that makes me uncomfortable, and I like the slashers because of the visual stuff. So it's, you know,
yeah.
I often like to say that, you know, if you think about standing on a street corner and looking up and seeing the street sign where it says, you know, north in one direction, south in the other, that fear and desire are kind of like this, that if you know what you're afraid of and you look back in the other direction, that can tell you something about what you desire. Or if you know what you desire, you turn around and look back the other way, it can tell you something about what you're afraid of. Uh-huh. And in this case, you know, maybe you're afraid of, you know, the supernatural stuff and focusing on what you like, which is the excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. I could probably say that because some supernatural stuff I still watch too, because to tell you the truth, I love the series Supernatural. I used to watch that.
Yeah. That's very supernatural.
Yeah. I used to watch that, but yeah, you're right. Most, I'm not heavy based on supernatural movie. I'm more over on the slasher side. Mm-hmm. I will watch a supernatural movie, but yeah, I don't I'm not heavy into that genre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the one question what we can ask is, you know, why horror? Because, you know, people who are looking for happiness or joy, you know, you can find that in all kinds of different things. You know, so what is, do you have any idea what it is about horror specifically that rings your bell, shall we say?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a subconscious, because I love the other genres too. I love action. I love martial arts. But just something about horror, I don't know, probably just something my subconscious, that's just my favorite genre of movies. But every time somebody asks me, that's horror. And I also supposedly, that's why I'm doing my filmmaking and IMDb. Most of them are horror movies I work with.
Mm-hmm. So they're more fun.
It shows in my work that some that's would be like one or two sci-fi action movies, but overall, in my filmography, is mostly horror. And also, when I do compose music, I do most of the music is horror music.
Yeah. That was why we invited you on, because when we looked at your IMDb, you know, it wasn't all sci-fi, it wasn't all drama, it was a lot of horror. So we were like, well, this guy's got to be a horror fan, because he wouldn't be in that many horror movies if he wasn't a fan.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, cool. Well, I think we got a pretty good summary for you. Before we hit the closing, you want to, again, let people know what you're currently working on?
Right now, we'll be working on the upcoming movie called Clown in a Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And the next movie will be Between the Living and the Dead. Those are the two recent movie projects coming up I'll be working on.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get together with you offline to get some pictures and a bio that we can put together. We'll put a bio page together for you on the Horror Max Happy website. So anybody who wants to come find out more about you or find your links, you can just go to horrormaxhappy.com, go to the episodes page, look for Marvin Maddox Jr., and then click on that, and that'll take them to the bio, and then they can go to any links that we put in there for you.
Okay.
So thank you for your time. Thank you to anybody out there listening. If you like what we're doing, tell a friend, like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff.